Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas, has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Here's Pastor Steve.
The title of our sermon today is The Marriage Supper, Will You Be There? Now, the following verses refer to the tribulation, and they're found in Joel chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. And they say, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. And the Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be the shelter of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. We are nearing the close of this series, I should say this series, Revelation, the Unveiling. Jesus Christ wrote the book of Revelation to help you to decide not to go through the tribulation and afterwards the lake of fire for eternity. That's why he wrote it. So that you would know the prophetic events that are about to take place on planet Earth. But the choice is yours. However soon you'll miss the exit ramp, the Bible reveals prophetically that we are in the last days before the coming judgment. And where we've left off in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 through 18, reveals the climax of God's judgment on the world. In these chapters, we've seen the destruction of the Antichrist's economic and religious empire. And all that remains now is for Christ to destroy his armies. And we're about to see that right now in chapter 19. However, there is a spectacular event that takes place first. And it's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. I'm in Revelation chapter 19, verses 5 through 8, if you'd like to join me. It says, and from the throne came a voice that said, praise our God, all his servants, all who fear him, from the least to the greatest. Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd, or the roar of a mighty ocean wave, or the crash of a loud thunder, saying, praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. For the fine linen represents the righteousness and the deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. Title of today's message is, The Marriage Supper, Will You Be There? Every wedding announces the identity of the groom and the bride. And the Bible, in this case, makes it clear as well. The wedding feast is for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Redeemer of the world. And the Apostle Paul confirms this in 2 Corinthians 11 and 2. He writes to the church saying, for I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself, for I promise you as a pure bride to one husband named Jesus Christ. So the Bible reveals that God, and especially Christ's relationship with the church, is represented by the image of marriage. As Paul said, the church is revealed as the bride. Some confirming scriptures are found in Isaiah chapter 54 and 5. It says, your creator is your husband. The Lord of heaven's armies is his name. He is your redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth. And then in Ephesians chapter 5 and 23, it shows how God uses marriage as an example of Christ's relationship to the church. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, in verse 32. This is a great mystery, for I speak concerning Christ and the church. So the husband of the bridegroom is Jesus Christ, and the bride is the church. How many of you are part of the bride, that is, the church of Jesus Christ? Let me see your hands. All right, we're on our way to a wedding feast. When will the marriage supper take place? Well, the Bible lets us know that it will take place in heaven after believers are judged and receive their rewards. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 10, it says, for we all must stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil that we've done in our earthly bodies. Now, folks, we will make it into heaven as Christians, but we will still be judged. You'll be judged for your obedience and your service to God. So for goodness sake, make sure you're serving God. Find something to do to serve God, especially in his house, because you'll be judged whether you did or you didn't. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 13, it says their work will be clearly seen because the day of judgment will make it visible. We will be judged for fulfilling our divine purpose, fulfilling our faithful service, using our gifts, witnessing to others, and accomplishing every task that the Lord has given us. And some will receive rewards while others will not. The Bible says that day will appear with fire, and the fire will test everyone's work to show what sort of work it was. Now, many who think that they'll be at the wedding feast will not be allowed in. Jesus explained this through a parable. This is found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 10 to 13. It says, the servants brought in everyone that they could find, good and bad alike, and the banquet hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed the man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. Friend, he asked, how is it that you are able to come in here without wedding clothes? But the man had no reply. The king said to his aides, bind his hands and his feet and throw him into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He was unprepared. And there are many professing Christians who are unprepared for the wedding feast. Now, Revelation describes the garments of the bride because she had made herself ready. In Revelation 19 and 7, it says, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. Well, how? She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the righteousness of the saints. It means they are spiritually pure and morally blameless. This means that our love for God in Christ and our obedience to God's word is intact. Many profess Christianity, but they do not love God more than their sin. They'd rather have their sin. They disobey God, falsely thinking they love God. Many people say, I love God. What are you talking about? I love God. He's the best thing that happened to me. But Jesus says, how can you say you love me and you disobey me? You see, Jesus exposes the deception. Let me give you a reference. In John 14, 23, Jesus said, if people love me, listen, they will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. Verse 24, those who do not love me do not obey my teaching. This teaching is not really mine, it's from my Father who sent me. Now, many professing Christians will be deceived by weak messages focusing purely on the love of God and not on obedience to God's word. Lord, to have mercy. Jesus explains to us the balance in Matthew chapter 7 and 21. He says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, these are professing Christians calling out to the Lord. You're my Lord. You're my Lord. Well, Jesus says, not every one of them calling to me is going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Listen, only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter heaven. I think that's pretty clear. See, many people are wondering, how do I protect my salvation? Or, you know, is my salvation secure? Jesus explains, if you obey the word of God, you believe in Jesus Christ as personal Savior, then you will enter heaven. However, if you don't obey the Lord, then you're just saying, Lord, Lord, but you're not going to enter into heaven. He goes on to say in verse 22, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, but we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We perform even miracles in your name. And the Lord says, but I will reply, I didn't know you. Get away from me. You broke God's laws. Disobedience, folks, is sin. Sin will keep you out of heaven. Did you know that there is no sin in heaven? You can't roll into heaven with sin in your life. In other words, there can't be disobedience in your life. You can't disobey the Lord and think you can live any way that you want to live or pick out different sins that you're going to keep in your life and make it to heaven. There is no sin in heaven. People believe that if they believe in Christ, that's enough. Folks, that's not the Bible. I'm going to say it again. A lot of people pray a prayer, and they call it a prayer of salvation. They say, well, as long as I believe in Jesus Christ, I'll make it to heaven. That's not the Bible. The Bible says you must repent. That means to change your thinking about sin and change your moral behavior to obey God's word. Did you just hear what I said? See, you must repent. Change your thinking about sin. It is disobedience to God. You've got to change your moral behavior to obey God's word. You can't just do what you want and think God will accept it. In Acts 3 and 19, it says, repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. If you believe in Christ but continue to habitually sin, you're not going to make it to heaven or to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's right in the scriptures.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a quick look at the messages coming your way on the radio ministry this week and in this Sunday service.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Thanks for joining us today. I am continuing to talk about the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the unveiling of the events that will precede and accompany the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus mentioned that he would return. And in Revelation 1 and 7, it says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all of the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. And verse 8, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Revelation is one of the most important books of the Bible to read and understand. The author of the book of Revelation is Jesus himself. Revelation is a prophetic book. It is not history. It reveals the future. Most of it is still an unfulfilled prophecy to come. Keep listening every day as we discuss the important messages Jesus reveals in Revelation. I want to invite you this Sunday to Spirit Life Church, where you will hear relevant messages like this every week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
We will be airing these informative messages on the Book of Revelation over the next few weeks. Be sure and join us daily right here on KDKR. And we encourage you to be with us at the church for our uplifting live service every Sunday morning at 10. The church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. If you would like more information about our ministry, be sure and check out the website at aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
You remember at the beginning of Revelation 1 and 7, it says, "Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who have pierced him, and all the nations of the world will mourn because of him." They will mourn because they will see Jesus Christ really is God. Jesus Christ is coming back, and I chose the wrong team. I chose the losing team. The Bible says in Revelation 19:15, from his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe, at his thigh, was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of all lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, "Come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared for you." The Bible says God remembers the birds of the air. Verse 18, "Come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great." Now, this description of Christ is thrilling. He is no longer riding a humble donkey into Jerusalem, but he is on a fiery white spirit horse. Didn't know there were spirit horses, did you? There are. His eyes are not filled with tears for Jerusalem like he beheld it, nor is he wearing a crown of thorns that they used to mock him. He's wearing a garment dipped in blood. Hello? Signifying judgment and victory. See, this world may swear and they may curse using his name, but he's coming back. I said he's coming back. He will judge the world. He will judge every swearing tongue, for he is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. The book of Revelation, what we're reading here, the angel announces that the armies of the earth will lose the battle. You say, well, who's going to win? They're already calling the vultures. Ring the dinner bell. Ding, ding, the angels. The angels tell the vultures, come, come. They're about to have a feast. The angels are announcing that the armies of the earth, they lost the battle already. In fact, there will not be much of a battle, for Christ will destroy his enemies instantly. Verse 19, "Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast." We're talking about the Antichrist. The false prophets did miracles that deceived all the people who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshiped his statue. But the Antichrist and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The Lord did not even wait for the battle to be over. He sent an angel to grab the Antichrist and the false prophet by the scruff of their neck and take them right
to the lake of fire and throw them in there for all eternity. Christ is not only there to destroy the armies of Antichrist, but to capture the beast and the false prophet. Like I said, he's going to cast them alive into the lake of fire. Verse 21, the rider on the horse killed the rest of the army with the sword that came out of his mouth. The Lord just spoke death, die, and the whole army died. Did you hear what I said? He spoke death, and everyone who opposed him died. And guess what happened next? All the birds gorged themselves with the flesh of those who had been killed. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven with the key of the bottomless pit and a heavy chain in his hand, and he seized the dragon, the old serpent who is the devil, Satan, and he bound him in the chain for 1,000 years. The angel threw him into a bottomless pit, which he then shut and locked so Satan could not deceive the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were finished. And after that, he must be released just for a little while. Can you imagine Satan? People think he's the opposite of God. He's just a created being. He's just an angel. One angel will grab him and wrap him in a chain and throw him in a pit. Who's the devil? One angel will take care of the devil. Bible says he'll be there for 1,000 years. Have you thought about those words, a bottomless pit? He can't rest. He'll be suspended between heaven and earth in a pit for 1,000 years. The Bible says after that he must be released, and we'll talk about that as we go on next week. Now, folks, let me just say this, because God wants you to prepare for the rapture of the church. He sent the book of Revelation so we would not have to endure the horrors of the tribulation period. The most important thing for the world to know is you've got to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord before it's eternally too late. In John 3:16, it says, God loved the world so much, he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world. Jesus didn't come to judge the world. That's going to happen later on. I'm reading about that now. He came to save the world. He came to save us from our sins and save us from ourselves and save us from Satan's power and save us from eternal death and save us from the tribulation period. The devil wants us to follow him into the lake of fire. You'll read about that next week. So he tempts us. He blinds us spiritually. And the truth is, a lot of Christians, and I'll say some Christians, I'll be nice. Some Christians need to be set free. Some even here. Some listening to the sound of my voice. You need to be set free from Satan's bondage in your life.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you were moved by today's message, you can download a copy for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org, and click on Audio Messages. Our new website makes listening and downloading faster and more simple than ever. And if you would like to help keep this radio ministry alive, you can make a gift offering right there online. That's aplacetogrow.org. The title of today's message was The Marriage Supper, Will You Be There? Now let's pray with Pastor Steve.
If you do not know that your sins are forgiven and that you're on your way to heaven, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Save me and deliver me from the influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Your word says anyone who comes to Christ becomes a new creation. The old things pass away and everything becomes brand new. Thank you for making me new today. Thank you for becoming my Lord and Savior. If you've prayed that prayer, then Jesus Christ is in your heart. And know this, you're on your way to heaven. God has a purpose and plan for your life that is so wonderful. I want to encourage you to seek God daily in prayer and read your Bible. Trust Him for everything you need. God bless you, and keep listening to A Place to Grow.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.